Guys, I've been serving. I don't know in many other ways except for what Pastor Mark and Jade have taught me, because he's a true teacher. And I say that to encourage people, whether it's here and Pastor would agree, or anywhere, find a Bible-based church with people that will listen to the Holy Spirit of God and be open to let God move and operate in your life. Amen. In Jesus' name, I'm so thankful for Mark and Jada, because they taught me how to grow, because I was a child of the world. Woo! How many's there with me? How many been there? Oh, my goodness, Pastor. Brokenness. When you said it's going to talk about broken, I'm like, boy, you just made the whole message series about me, didn't you, Pastor? About being broken. I don't know why we're so scared of that. I think God's going to show us something today about being a good father and about reliance on Him in faith. And I think He's also going to reveal to us that maybe brokenness isn't such a bad deal sometimes. I'm thankful for mine today, because I would not be able to stand or do anything paralyzed in the fear that the world had tried to impose upon my life. And I am saved by grace to stand before you today, undeserving. That's all of us, though, guys. Here's what I was going to do, Pastor. I was going to come sit right here, because I was hoping I was going to sit right here. I was going to go ahead, because I was hoping God, I was wanting God to speak to me today. Amen. Because there really technically is no difference. We are all filthy rags, you know, in the presence of God today. So no matter how much we're in the Word and how much we grow, there's always another place. There's always a plateau. There's always we get to a plateau and we think, I made it, God. I've been there several times. And then God would go, no, Mark, there's another season here. Then you have children. Woo! And then it starts over, doesn't it, folks? And then it all, you know, I tell you this. I'm going to go into this right quick before we pray. I went through a whole period of serving God going, I got this figured out for myself pretty good. My kids are little, they're really around the house. I got them. I can mother hen them. Carrie's better at it. No, I'm probably better at it. It's pretty close. Sorry, babe. We really protect our kids when they're little. They're right there. You know, when they're always in the back seat, we can go, yeah, there they are. I can hear them. I know where they're at. But then your kids go up, and then there's a whole nother level, because I thought, man, I'm really walking with God. I am empowered going into ministry, and all of a sudden I go, my children are becoming accountable for themselves, and they're going out into the world, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. A whole level of that fear tried to come in to Mark Ward. And I went, okay, God, so now I got to fight all those battles for them. And you know what, Pastor, God told me, I was just prayed up, and this morning in the shower, he goes, Mark, do I love them as much as I do you? I said, yes, God, you do. He said, Mark, do I got them then? Yes, Lord, you do. And at some point, I have to say, it's going to get me. I had to say, take them, God. Because I started fighting all those battles. And you know what battles they're fighting? Are out there in the world, and the world's dirty and nasty, and it doesn't like people that are set free, I'll promise you today. And so we're going to get into all that today, or I'm going to spell it all out right now. I want to pray. We're going to see what God says about fear. We're going to see what God says about faith. We're going to talk about what brokenness truly is and how we can actually use brokenness to receive the real victory and the peace that God has for us. And without it, I'm not sure that we can obtain all that God has for us. Because I'm broken today. I've been broken many times. I had to say, it's yours, God. And I'm still doing that this morning. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we come to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, I'm thankful, God, as I prayed for those to be here. God, it's by no mistake, Lord, that you have an assignment for us every day to find you, God, and to grow in you. And I believe everybody's here with an appointment, God, to hear from you, not from me. God, you've already set the stage and showed me by faith many things in the service this morning that your plan is good, God, and it's perfect, actually. And God, only thing we can do is get in the way. So God, I pray that it be all about you today in Jesus' name. God, please, Lord, open the hearts and minds of your people by your word right now in Jesus' name, that they're going to receive from you and not me, God. We bind up, Father, in the name of Jesus, any scheme or plan of the enemy, God. He has no place here today or any day if we don't allow it. So Father, we proclaim that today, that your people are protected and covered in this house, God, and we love you and we praise you for what you're about to do. And Father, we pray, Father, I pray that we leave victorious and we leave with salvation today. And Father, I pray that your grace is sufficient for me today even though I'm not worthy, God, that it would be about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I think I pretty much already spelled it out there in a short. And also, as we go into it, I always tell myself, if God says we're done, let's just be done today. Amen, because I don't want to just ramble. What I want to do is I want to be the Father's business. I did pray all week, guys, for grace and mercy. Well, we live in a world that is just so, it's tough at times. Because outside of there, there's not very many people that are pulling the Word of God in. They're not operating in this. And the problem is, I want you to think about this before I forget this. I didn't write it in my notes, but God's prompting me to go there right now. We need to decide and determine right now out of a 12, how many, I'm awake, like I get up like at 5. Our kids are, you know, how many hours a day that we're actually awake in this world? How many hours and how much time do we get of God during that awakening hours? And how much time do we get sucked into this world, okay? And I'm going to tell you, it's an evil plan of the enemy, your social media, your Facebook, and we are so meditating on so much evil, so much deception. So no one even knows what's true and false anymore, and it's getting worse and worse. And so we have to determine right now that as Christians to follow God's plan, we've got to impart more of what He tells us into our lives if we ever want to change our outcomes. Woo! Who's guilty of not putting enough of God in their life today? Okay, so what God showed me all the time, what He tells me all the time is, Mark, you need more of me and you'd fix it all. I run around, I'll call Pastor Mark. Pastor, I got this going on. Help me out, man. Help me out. And I already know in my heart, Mark's going to go, are you prayed up? Are you in the Word? Are you worshiping God? And I'm just going to be like, he's not critical like that. But we talk. But I actually know the answer before I call you, Pastor. If I would just seek God a little bit more in my own personal life, then all of a sudden my fears would go away. And that's all in Scripture. And we want to get into that today. So, statement I put on here, put on your bulletin today is, brokenness, the believer's place of victory and power. Doesn't sound right, does it? If I'm broken of myself, then therefore how do I become restored? Well, if you're a Christian today, you know that Jesus did all we need to do to be completely restored. The love of God is why you're called into His name and His grace, not condemnation and fear that God's a mean God. And we've messed that up for way too long. God loves me so much that even last week when I was not making good choices, He never stopped loving me. He is that. Here's the difference. God came after you. You're not going after Him. He's waiting on us. His love is perfect love, and it casts out fear and faith in Jesus' name. By faith, I please God. Amen. I get up today, no matter how bad yesterday went or the week before or this morning, I get a walk in faith today that God's grace is sufficient to the death for me, and I cannot be defeated in Jesus' name, and there is no reason to quit. Woo! How many people tried to quit last week? Or this morning, you have to raise your hand. I know there's a few of you, okay? How many people tried to throw it in the towel last week, okay? Or this morning, or all these things. So I'm going to get into the Scripture, and there's really not a lot, Pastor. I'm going to tell you, we're going to talk about where I think fear came from and how we were broken. And the only thing I can tell you about how you're set free and knowing is that God's love is that good. Every time I speak, God said, and this, I always go down and I'm like, man, I can't speak, God. I'm not very good at this. I used to get so fearful. I mean, the enemy really tried to stop me from ever getting in front of God's people through fear. And I know there's some people that talk to me, they're dealing with that right now, and they have talents and gifts. I stand before you today at total peace. Never dreamed that day would happen for me, because I've got to a place that I trust God. When I get in front, I open my mouth and He'll fill it. And I also pray very, very hard that God, don't let me say anything dumb. God can do that too. Or don't let me say anything that doesn't line up. And if I do, then they're not going to hear it. Amen. In Jesus' name. I've learned to trust that God would fill my voice, and He gives us talents and gifts, and you all have some, and He wants you to use them and not stay frozen and paralyzed by fear. The biggest trick of the enemy is to get to believe you don't count. And he can do it this morning, do it yesterday, do it last week. I'll go through, we're trying to play in the state tournament. I'm so mad at the umpires, Pastor Martin, I'm so mad at the umpires and everybody else. I get so lost, and why are we doing that? Why are we doing this? Because my kids are trying to play a game. And I catch myself going, my gosh, great faith, Mark, attaboy. Good job. I can't control the umpire called that pitch a strike. And I just want to run out there and go, what are you doing? I can see that from the stands. But God also showed me that even though He does care about every aspect, including a game, it's probably not that big a deal. And you know what He also showed me? To strike out sometimes may be a way that we learn. How we struck out in here in life. Wow. talk about that all day. So I looked up, what is brokenness? So we look in the dictionary, and I thought, okay, God, well, I'm going to back up one more step before I talk about brokenness and talk about fear just for a second, because I was blessed to go travel, and I was speaking at a church, Lost Cowboy Church, for about 6 weeks, and coming and preaching here with Pastor Mark, and not traveling a lot, but when I do, what would happen every time when I would get into the Word, as I was getting in front of God's people, my discernment was the word, was fear. And I went, God, why are your people so afraid? And it goes right with this message title, why are we afraid, God? Ooh, because I get in front of you and I can feel the presence of fear. And God was like, he's like, Mark, if they are afraid, and they are, they never have fully grasped that I love them. Because perfect love casts out fear. It's in that song, and we're going to get to that in the Word. Because if I could fully embrace the perfect love of my Savior and all that that means, I stop fearing, guys. I stand before you today, no fear. And the reason is I love God. I'm so prayed up, and I know what He's telling me in my heart right now. Is tell my people I love them. Please, Mark, just tell them I love them. And I know you're hearing the love of God right now. Now, how many times when we get in there and we get in that, you feel the walls of fear coming down when we're in worship right there. And you feel the power of God trying to tell you that He loves you. And I've reached out, and I pray for people, and this was happening a couple of weeks ago. And it was a certain person who used to be in our youth group, came up, I'm not mentioning names, and I just grab a hold of this person's hand. And just within a second there, I just felt this fear. But you know what I felt? Just a real quickening that it was going to break all the way to the core. And I was going, God, why are we so scared? Because I felt this fear that the world has come in and built up these long-term leases and this junk in their lives that they cannot get away from it. Why can't they get away from it? Said, Mark, they can. I've already done it. Oh, I've already done it, Mark. And I'm like, I just want to tell them all that then, God. Because when I get in front of His people, I quit caring about myself. We need to get the revelation of Jesus that He's so good that we can pour His love out. Let me say this. I can't refill God's love unless I've fully received it. Oh, what do? We're by ourselves. How many are so worried about their own situation that we can't get over there to the other side and realize that somebody just needs the love of God? Oh, my goodness. And when I felt that, I was just like, God, it just almost broke me. I'm like, do I just need to drop everything, God, and get out? And I mean this. At times, I want to just stand on the street corner and just say, give them Jesus. Because it is that big of a deal. His love is the good news. It's great today, guys. And we're going to get into that in Jesus' name. Okay, what is brokenness? Having been fractured or damaged and no longer in one piece or in working order. As I go through this, you can raise your hand because I will. No longer in working order. Of a relationship ended, such as through infidelity, a broken marriage, denoting a family in which the parents are divorced or separated. These are different. This is Webster's different definitions. Grew up in a poor family, unable to survive in a broken household. Just made plain old mistakes. That's not in here. I threw that one in myself. Chasing their own desires caused me to be broken. Chasing a world that looked really good on the surface. Looks good, doesn't it, guys? Yeah. At times we go, I want the BMW too. I see the commercial. Like, I want that BMW right there. God, Mark, you don't need that BMW. He's just in there telling you. He goes, you need to go spread my love. I'm like, okay. An agreement or promise not observed by one of the parties involved. Okay, there we go. Something was broken because one of the parties involved decided that they would break this promise. So I'm going to go into Genesis, and this is where it goes, because in Genesis, I had to figure out, and this is what God showed me. He said, get to the core, be honest with them, tell them about their fear, tell them why they're broken, tell them where fear comes from, and then we can probably look into the Word and tell them how we need to break it. That's my goal today. I'm not sure how it's going to finish, but I guarantee you by His Word, He'll reveal to us how to get out of this fear, okay? Which is the brokenness, and that's the message for this whole time that we're in the harvest time. Okay, where does brokenness come from? Genesis 3, and I'm going to start in chapter 1, and we want to go back there. I want to paraphrase a little bit. Now the serpent was more cunning than any of the beasts of the field that the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? How many times have you do that? I mean, is God, you know, and I've preached some of this here before. Well, it might be okay with God. For a little while, it will be, until somebody notices, right? That might be all right. Okay, so we do that. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You won't surely die. It's okay." Does the enemy ever tell you that? Well, if I just do that one more time, do this one more day, and I walk outside of the will of God, it's going to be okay. The enemy tells you that. And what God is saying, no, it's not okay. All right? Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You will be like God, knowing good and evil." Why did we ever have to know evil, Pastor? I think about that, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw the tree was good, I've seen some good trees in my life, especially when I was running around chasing the world. Saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Here's the separation. We're lined up with God in the garden. The enemy just says this. We turn towards the world, and we want to eat of that fruit, and we realize what happened here. You see, that's what happened to us, guys. This is when fear came in. Let's go on. "And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called God to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?'" Guys, if you're really yoked up right now, you'll understand "where are you" meant, "Why are you not with me?" He knew where Adam was physically. "Where are you, Adam? I decided I'd turn from you, God." And you know what immediately happened if we read the next line? "So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden.'" It's what Adam talking. "And I was afraid because I was naked." They are literally naked, but they also spiritual nakedness without the covering of God. Amen. So at this point, they're going, God is like, "Where are you?" Right now, God is asking us today the same question. The covenant that we have with Jesus Christ was all we need to walk victorious here on earth. But our problem is we're still walking in this utter fear. And we all are susceptible to it when we choose not to follow God at his word. He'd only given them one word: don't eat of that tree. Then we had 10 commandments. I can go on and on. And then we have hundreds of commandments. Then we have a bunch of commandments from people that are probably not even good, that laws, if you will, that are not from God, that we follow instead of following God. And we're chasing a whole bunch of stuff that's not God. Wow. And that's what we do. So there's two things I get out of this. Disobeying God causes broken relationships, and this broken relationship causes fear. God goes, "Marcus, because they're broken, now they're scared." It's right there in Genesis. I didn't have to read very far in the Bible. In fact, when I go, "God, why is there this fear?" I typed it in. It went right there to the front. Genesis said, Adam said, "I am afraid." So here's what I'm going to tell you. So am I. At times. And how much of God I put in, and how much I walk out in worship and scripture and listening to what God says about me and how much God cares about me and loves me, I begin to get bolder and bolder and more courageous. And all of a sudden, when I can ever get to a place that I'm believing God's love is that good for me, that he will not leave me, he will not forsake me by his word, I cannot be defeated in you, God, and there is no reason to quit, and God has my back, then I can start to reveal that love to somebody else. And when I walk around scared, not getting in God, what he wants to do, and this is one cut here, Pastor, to Pastor Mark and people of ministry and things like that, is to keep us in the same place, paralyzed. I said, "That's enough, enemy. I'm not being paralyzed anymore. The love of God is that good of news." Woo! And I've seen it, God. Guys, I'm telling you, I've been redeemed and restored so many times that it's amazing, and God's grace and mercy is still good. It's not a license to sin, but I learned through all this that God's not mad at me. He loves me. And I'm going to go, and I'm just going to keep getting right back on my feet. And I'm going to keep chasing God, even if this morning didn't go well. See, the problem was I didn't realize how messed up my life was when I got saved. Whew. I thought, "Well, I know Jesus. Now everything's going to work great," right, guys? Who's done that? "I know Jesus now. Boy, this is all going to be hunky-dory." So we start walking out life, and all of a sudden, "What's the matter, God? I know you. Why isn't everything fixed?" Oh, I got that in my life. I got that in my life. Oh. God started to reveal to me the areas of my life that I started changing with his word. As his word came into my life, I started transforming by his word. That's what it tells us. We should be transforming by the blood of Jesus from glory to glory. So therefore, when the bad stuff comes in my life, it's an opportunity to transform, for me to transform and to change. It's not to paralyze me and be in the corner crying around whining about why isn't everything working out for me, God. Oh, it's hard. So I sat in the corner and God showed me a picture of me at times. You're just sitting over in the corner, Mark. You're just sitting over there in the corner, cowered down to an enemy that I know you know is defeated. I go, I know I do that, God. What's my problem? I'm spending 14 hours a day chasing the world on TV, on the phone, and my children, everywhere else, and I'm spending 15 minutes a day with God. How do we get set free? Find out how much God loves us and let him start transforming, because I started looking at my trials, guys, as my platform to grow and to get better. So if you're in it today, God would tell you, if you've been broken and you hold on to my love and you start seeking me, I will transform you. I will be your Savior yesterday, today, and forever. Amen, Pastor. The problem is, or the deal is, I need a Savior tomorrow. I need one today, and I need him yesterday. Because bottom line is, we are not God. Neither was Eve. And here's the funny thing. We all want to blame Adam and Eve. That's you today. God, how many times we do that? If Adam and Eve wouldn't have just messed up. No, the problem is you are Adam and Eve. We are, and then our choices in our being saved by grace through faith in Jesus' name is the overcoming power of the blood of the Lamb. And because of that, I've got victory, amen, and I got hope today. I stand before you, and all I hope that you get is a testimony of a man that has been broken, and all I can tell you is God is truly that good. No matter how far I fall, he is my Lord and Savior. And he's done powerful things. He gave me the perfect wife and the perfect children most of the time. No, he did, guys. He gave me the greatest things when I started seeking the right things. And you know what? There's part of me that's got less and less and less, but the special things have gotten more and more and more, and it's changed my life because God's that good. And I walk and look at my kids and my wife and stuff, and I have to stop for a minute, and I go, "What, God, I've got everything. I really do. You're a good father. My problem is I've been playing tug of war with you, and I'm tugging the wrong direction." Who's been tugging the wrong way? You know, we can go into that. I'm jerking on that. It's got to be this way, guys. So this is like the same message God always gives me, because he's like, Mark, but my people don't get. I'm like, what do they not get? To seek me first? Oh. Matthew 6:33, Pastor's like, Mark always loves that. Not right, Pastor? That's my favorite scripture. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will come in. Seek first. How many people, I'm going to say this now, raise your hand. How many people can honestly say they seek God first? I already know the answer. And I know it for myself a lot of times too. Okay. So what I'm going to tell you is, it's okay. Because God's searching for you. God has already done it. You're not looking for God, guys. And all these people that are lost around the world, they're so blind, they don't even know what they're looking for. And they're helping the enemy out. God has already finished this, and we're done. I've seen that glory. I've walked in that glory with my family. I could go home and be with the Lord tomorrow, and I'll be just fine. Yeah, I've got goals and dreams, but I really want God's plan in my life, not my own. I really do. At times I fight it like I don't. At times tooth and nail. And I say it, I won't tell you this week when I'm at the ball game. I got to tell off on this. And I'm wanting to fight with everybody. I won't tell everybody why they're doing stuff wrong and this and that. And I'm thinking, why can't the umpire, you know, all these things are going on. And it's the same stuff you face. And I'm using sports as an analogy, but you're facing bigger issues. I understand that. But I'm using that as an analogy. And I'm going through that. And I'm going, God, why? Why does it do that to me? Because you got to stop, Mark. You got to stop because you're listening to the wrong voices. So should I just get away from people? Some of you need to change your friends. God always tells me that. Mark, you may need to change your friends. I had to at one time. I think at one time, Pastor Mark, is my best friend. At one time, I had one. And I can say that. Thank you for being there, Pastor. He understood the grace of God, because at one point in my life, I felt like I had one. You know, but you know who I had when I was in my darkest? I had Jesus. You know what, my worst day in brokenness, I sat there and I was in total peace because the love of God came around me. One of my most powerful testimonies was in my flesh, my worst night, my worst day. Because I was at total peace. Because I was exposed. Sometimes getting rid of it and getting real with God, Adam and Eve were exposed here, weren't they? So Adam and Eve, God, we're going to run and hide. You see, the problem was this: we need to take it straight to God and say, this is, and I share it with Pastor Mark, my wife, other people. This is what I'm dealing with. I expose it and bring it to the light. And when it's brought to the light, it's under the blood of the Lamb. And when it does, I get victory in that. Amen. In Jesus' name. And I get to walk out and believe that God has a plan for not only me, but the people that I can speak with and talk to also. Wow. Disobeying God causes broken relationships. Those cause fear. Now I want to go to 1 John 1, 8 through 10. I got to wrap up. I'm on page 1. I do this. Okay. Okay, but I want you to read this because if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Woo! How much of the world is running around and we're guilty of this at too, going, I'm not sinning there. I'm not a sinner. The revelation that you're a sinner is the key. It's the first step into becoming free. Woo. And that's what the church is missing. So I'm pretty good. There are a lot of churches. I've been to a lot of churches. Hey, we're all pretty good. We're cleaned up. We look good. We're going to say hi to everybody. We're going to be real nice as they come in the door. We're going to put on our smiling faces and show nobody our misery. Guys, I got misery too. In fact, the enemy wants to kill me is what I always tell people all the time. If he could, the problem is he can't have me or my children in Jesus' name. And he can't have my wife by the power of the blood of the Lamb. And even if they stray to the right or to the left or I do, God's right there and we're not going to quit chasing him. I'm not, because I'm going to seek him first, Matthew 6:33, and stand upon that promise of God no matter what. Somebody needs to hear this part of this today. No matter what. If I sent my son to the death, that's a no matter what. Because I love my children. Do you know the perfect love of me and my children? How hard I'd fight for them if someone was trying to take them from me? And to think that God's perfect love is stronger than that? That he would willingly send his son for Mark Ward? And you put your name right there. Because this is either a love story, I've said it before, to you, or it's not. It's not for everybody else, guys. It's for you personally. That'll set you free. Okay, if we say then we are in no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. I don't want God to be a liar. So when I run around and I proclaim that I'm not in sin, I'm basically making God out to be a liar. So the best thing you can do right now, before today, whenever you need to, every day if you can, is to get real with God and bring it to the understanding that sin, that I am a sinner and that I'm broken. We all were passed over to judgment at the cross, 100%. And people want to make ourselves exempt of that, like Jesus didn't have to go for me. I've got it figured out. Okay, we're all in that. But we also are set free by the greatest gift that you can't. I sit and I try to define that. I try to define the love of God as the greatest gift. It's so far, far not comparable that it's uncomprehendable for me to say it. Think about that. It's that good, guys. And God wants you to hear that good news today. We may just stop right there, Pastor, and be done. I'm just kidding. I really didn't have any. He did tell me, he said, Mark, my people are in fear, and they don't understand my love because my perfect love casts out fear. And that's why we did that song today. Oh, my fears are in broken. What is it? My fears are drowned in perfect love. Drowned in perfect love. Because with water, guys, there's no gaps, there's no seams. I love when we talk about the water. We talk about baptism. When you go down into that, there's no cracks in that. That is sealed in water. See? Brought forth in faith. Amen? That's good. So God said, ask him two questions. I believe this in my heart, that God was prompting me this way. Who is broken today? Let's admit that. Who is afraid today? And here's the problem. God showed me, he goes, Mark, my people, and I feel this when I'm in front of people, fear is what's keeping us from being set free. The problem is most of us, most of the time, are just in the corner, tired of getting beat up by the enemy. We're just going to stay there, and we're just going to take it and let life just keep running us over. And one day in my life, I said, I'm either going to sit here And you know what happened, guys, is you get in the Word, and you get in worship, and you get in a Bible-based ministry, and you feel God's love, and He starts to set things free in your life, the real things that matter. He starts to bring you love and hope and peace, and He starts to give you courage in that. And this is where we're at as babies, growing in God. Then one day, all of a sudden, He said, Mark, stand up and look at the enemy by the blood of me, because I got your back. And the day I was able to stand up in Jesus' name and look back at the enemy and say, that's enough, the enemy all of a sudden feared me, but it wasn't me. It was my God and Savior in Jesus' name. Whew. It's hard for me to stay on my feet sometimes, guys. And I'm in ministry. Sometimes I feel like, God, well, the world doing all that to me. I'll just run around and try to fix it all myself and end up back in the corner. It doesn't mean I'm not saved. You see what I'm saying? It's that I'm listening to the lie and the deception that's trying. The same lie that Adam and Eve were listening to that separated them from God. And what God would say to me today to tell you this is my love's so good, it's so great, and the hope is so eternal and so forever, 10,000 years upon it. Tell my people to stand up on their feet because I got their back in Jesus' name. To the death. But I wasn't good last week, Lord. Well, that's why I don't look at you. I look at my son as your sacrifice. God showed me that this week. Mark, you got to get over yourself. I'm not looking at you if you're saved. I'm looking at the blood of my son that's covered you. Woo! And when I heard that, I thought, man, now I am set free, God. And when I feel that power of that, and you know what? The world can humiliate you. Here's the problem. Shame and condemnation, we're all dealing with it. The problem is they have no sting. By the word of God, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is God's word. So if I'm in Christ Jesus, I got to stop being condemned by choice. Because He's either God or He's not. And I got to stop my shame and worry about covering myself up, because God's doing that for me by the blood of His Son. Wow. I don't know how many times I can say that, Pastor. Maybe I'm... Newsflash. No, I'm going to read 1 John 4:18. Maybe this is the only reason we came. I said, Pastor Mark, I said, we may just tell people that God loves them today and that be it. And that's kind of what I'm doing here. I want you to be a living testimony too, because God has redeemed and restored me and my family and my children. He will not. He's got great things for me too. And I'm like, just hide and watch what God's going to do. Even though it looks terrible at times to the world, He's got that for you too, and that promise. He's got a great promise for you. He cannot have it. The enemy cannot take it away from me. He cannot take my promise from me, no matter how bad I mess it up at times. Okay, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. I know people in my life that are tormented. I'm going to say some people here were tormented this week. They were so much in fear that they were in torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love yet. If you're made perfect in love, guys, the more I get into God and the more I consume this love and get in that, the fear leaves. Okay? That's the good news. Okay, newsflash. If you're broken, you've been broken. Or if you are broken or have been broken, you're in a great shape today. From brokenness, you can find true victory. Brokenness is a place where you conclude you need a Savior. Becoming broken is the best thing that ever happened in my life. And that's the good news. The enemy wants to tell you that your brokenness is what's wrong with you. He's the accuser of the brethren, how you're destroyed by your sin, your problems, your mistakes. And God says, when you're broken and you come to me, I got it. Okay. Well, we really didn't go very far, but that's good enough for today. What fear causes, I just want to read a couple things that I learned this week in studying. Fear revealed to me, I spent time, when I already talked about traveling the churches, I feel people's fear. If you know Jesus as Savior, you're not separated from God, but only deceived by the voice of the enemy. The most often repeated command in Scripture is, do not fear. I don't know if you knew that or not. Fear appears in the Bible 457 times, and it all started when the first fear that when I went and researched it, because Adam said, I was afraid. God doesn't want you to be afraid today. Fear keeps us from things. It keeps you from a lifestyle of courage that's designed for you. Because my courage doesn't come from me, guys. And people will be like, how can that guy speak that boldly with that? Well, because I know who Jesus is, okay? And if that's wrong, then that's wrong. But I'll tell you this, we need to be able to get in front of people boldly, come to the throne of Christ, that I really am saved today. Because I stand before you and you are there today, you're either really saved or you're not. Amen? I love that. Because if you are, then start walking is what God would say. Okay? That's good. Okay, keep us in a, from a lifestyle of courage designed for us to keep us from our opportunity. My opportunity's been put on hold several times. I think it's on hold right now just because of certain things. It's okay. Patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit, Pastor. How many loves patience? Oh, love patience. Woo, don't like it. If you long, here's what God would say prophetically to me. This is what I felt. For you long for me, if you long for me the way I long for you, you will be satisfied. Oh, wow. Think about that for a minute. If you long for me the way I long for you, you will be satisfied. We become afraid when we lose sight of him. And the world is pulling at all of us to lose sight. It's really simple. I can go into every person in the Bible that was afraid. They all were at times. But I'm going to tell you what they chose to do. Trust God in his plan. Everybody that God chose is at some point, I can go through every story. The only one that wasn't ever afraid was Jesus. Oh, thank God for that. 2 Timothy 1:7. I'm going to go there and wrap up. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. What does that imply? Fear didn't come from God. So here's the deal. God wants me to be real literal. If you're afraid, that's the enemy. He wants me to tell you, I mean, I feel like for myself, he's really telling me this whole message, and I just get to tell you, Mark, if you're afraid, do you think I gave you that fear? No, you didn't, God. God has not given us a spirit of fear. The fear we experience today does not come from God. Brokenness is a place of victory and power. Perfect love casts out fear. John 3:16, I have to go there because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The first of that, we've seen this so many times, I think we run right through it. For God so loved. For God was mad at me. It didn't say that, does it? God isn't mad at you today. He loves you. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in is condemned already because he has not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Man. If we got really real with ourselves, there's people we just straight up don't like and we want evil thoughts towards them. Tell the truth. Then we're not in perfect love. And any of those things bring us fear. Because anytime we're separated from God's word, we're in fear. That's the only thing he wanted me to define for you today was that if fear is not from God, and then how do you get rid of it? You've got to start walking in God's love. And you have to walk in it no matter what. And as long as we leave here today understanding that this is a love story, and it will transform you from glory to glory by his word if you choose to seek it more hours than you get on Facebook. Let's be real. I'm guilty too. More hours than we chase the TV shows and the dramas and the junk that's not of God. You'll see your life transform. I promise you it cannot not happen. Right, Pastor? Cannot not happen. Last scripture. Well, two. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." My boasting today is clearly because I can tell you, I'm not even good without God. I'll boast about my Lord all day because he's there for me. The power of Christ in brokenness. This was my last point. 2 Corinthians 12:9-11. If you haven't read this, this is so powerful. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You know what I've learned? I'm going, God, I really am weak, aren't I? That's why you use me. Yep. But you also love me, Mark. Here's my deal. I want to be a person that's out there in the world that's real That also shows the grace of God because I'm not perfect. We got to quit trying to be perfect. What we got to do is go do what God calls us to do in the world. If I'm a reflection of someone that seems like they need grace all the time, then so be it. Because my infirmities and my weakness and my junk can only reveal the love of God. But when we go, now be careful here. Someone needs to hear this. When we go start condemning people because they're not perfect, we're on the wrong side of the fence. We're on the wrong team. So when I holler at the umpire, give me grace next time. Amen. Jesus' name. No. I do want to read this one. Romans 1:16-17. It's what you just heard me say in testimony. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So I live by faith, not by my own works today or my own properness. Okay? So in wrapping up, I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to have Pastor Mark. Man, I had a whole lot of different stuff, Pastor. We're just going to quit right there. Okay? But here's what God would tell us today. And I want everyone, if you would, just for a moment, I want everyone to close their eyes. And we're going to search our heart right now. Because I know someone's got fears. All right? So right now, I'm just going to pray over us. I just want you to be thinking about those fears in your life. And if you come here today and you have fears and you are afraid of something right now, just raise your hand. I'm raising mine. No one's looking around, every eye closed. And I'm raising mine because I do have some fears today that I need God to cover up. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your love. God, I thank you for right now in your heart, just be telling God what those fears are. Father, I just thank you, God, that today we're going to stop fearing in Jesus' name. I know fear will come, these things will come, but God, today we're going to choose your perfect love. We leave here transformed by your love today in Jesus' name. God, I'm thankful for today. I'm thankful for Pastor Mark entrusting me to be here today. I need your mercy and grace. Father, today, God, and your people, I believe you're set free today from this bondage. God, would we start looking at brokenness as the gift to start really understanding who you are? God, brokenness is not a bad thing. It's a place of victory when we serve you, God. I thank you for this opportunity today, God. Just be with your people today. They take this word, God, and you just sow it into their hearts today that they leave different today, that you have victory for us and you have salvation. God, I'm thankful today for it. God, we give you praise for what you've done and what you will continue to do. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can be bold and courageous as we go forward, that we have hope in my brokenness. In fact, God, you showed me that the amount of my brokenness is the amount of the glory that you have for me. That's a lot. So Father, I just thank you for your grace today and your love in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Testing, here we go. That's a lot better. I don't know which number I had there. Okay. Give Mark another hand clap. Man, that was a good word. And I have watched him, being his pastor, I've watched him go from fear to faith. I've been watching him grow in that, and that's pretty awesome. I want everyone to bow your heads in here one more time. And before we go today, and because I know that we have people here, we have people watching by Church's Aid, people will be listening to this on the radio as well. And I want to make sure, just like Mark has done this in his life, just like we saw Faith do this in her life today, that to go from a point of fear to a point of faith, and how you do that, and Mark read that scripture about this, is that you have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It has to be a personal relationship with him. And I want to lead you in a prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this after me and repeat this with those, the others as well. So say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. And if that's the first time you prayed that prayer, then you need to do exactly what Faith did, and that's follow the Lord in water baptism. And we can do that next Sunday. In fact, we can do it right now if you want to. So have the baptistry filled up. Now, Jada, why don't you come up here with me? And I'm going to dismiss this. We do this every Sunday. I dismiss with a blessing. Next Sunday, Mark did an awesome job today on harvest time. Next Sunday is going to be Dusty. Welty is going to be bringing the word. And then the next Sunday, Jade and I are going to be tag teaming together. And I just want to make this announcement. We just finished, and I know y'all have been a part of this. It's been a long time coming. We're going into, 20 years now since our son passed away. And we have felt the call upon our lives to write a book about that. And we want this book to minister to marriages and to families that not only lost a child, but that have lost a loved one in their family, to minister to people that are grieving. And we finally got that done, and we got it sent to the publisher. Yes, here at the... It's not done yet, but it's at the publisher, and they're working on, and they've told us that hopefully by I'll tell you more about it on our Sunday, but hopefully by the last Sunday this month, we'll have a title and a book cover that we can show you, and it's going to be an e-book, then they're going to help us to get it on Kindle as well, and they've also got a deal now where you can do print on demand if you want a paper. And we'll talk more about that, but because we're not going to print up a whole thousands of books and have them, because I still have thousands of books of harvest time devotional in a storage building. So I'm thanking God that now they've went to publishing, has went to where you can print on demand, and so I'm thankful about that. But more people are reading e-books and on Kindle and stuff like that. So we're excited about it. The publisher gave us some good kudos about it, so we felt good. You know, it was our first time to write a book and then writing it together, and it was just kind of different how it all flows together. But we're excited about it. No, I can't wait. We believe it's going to help a lot of people that are grieving, and we want to get it out there. But anyway, so I want everybody to stand up. We'll talk about that on the last Sunday. Just want to let y'all know about that. And we want to speak a blessing over you this morning, okay? So I want you to receive this blessing. I believe in the power of the spoken word and the power of blessing. You need to do this at home. You need to do this over your spouse, over your family, and over your children. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you by the enemy be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said amen. All right, I want you to hug somebody's neck, shake their hand, fist bump, high five, whatever, and tell them I've went from a place of fear to a place of faith. God bless you guys. Have a blessed week. Get the word out and invite your family and friends for next Sunday. Amen. Love you guys.